Greetings, this is J.R. Dickey. Thanks for tuning in to our podcast. And by the way, don't forget our website, graceandtruth.net. I hope you're having a great day, but if not, hang with me. It's about to get better. Okay, today we've got some great news concerning Christ's command. Let's get started. From the days of Moses and the giving of the law until Jesus, there was one great commandment. Christ told a man who inquired about it, Jesus says in Matthew 22, he said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment, and the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets." Now, as you already may know, it was an impossible command for men to obey. People can give lip service to it, but no one, without the help of the Holy Spirit, can love God that way or one's neighbor. Mankind simply could not and cannot keep the law. So Jesus fulfilled it. And guess what? Set it aside. Hebrews 7:18 says, "For on the one hand, there is a setting aside of a former commandment because of its weakness and uselessness." David Guzik writes, "Because of its weakness and unprofitableness, in its weakness and unprofitableness, the law made nothing perfect. The law does a great job of setting God's perfect standard, but it does not give the power to keep that standard. The law provides expert diagnosis of our sin problem, which is absolutely essential, but the law does not provide the cure to our sin problem. Only Jesus can save us from our sin problem." But then the Lord gave a new command in John 13, 34. It says, "A new commandment I give you, that you love one another, even as I have loved you, that you also love one another." John 15, 12 says, "This is my commandment, that you love one another, just as I have loved you." Now, it wasn't God setting aside his command to love him supremely and just love your neighbor. Rather, it was about receiving by faith his gracious gift of love in Jesus and consequently the power of his Holy Spirit as a necessary precursor. John put it this way in 1 John 3:23. He said, "And this is his commandment, that we should believe or trust on the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as he gave us commandment." Yes, it is God's gift, his Spirit, that gives us the power to trust and to love. Now, hope does not disappoint, Romans 5:5 says, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. So, of course, we are still to love God supremely, but the commandment alone couldn't do it in us. The same was true of all the law, even circumcision, which says in Galatians 5:6, rather, it says, "For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision nor uncircumcision," well, that is the law in general, "avails anything but faith, trust, working through love." Guzik also wrote, "This verse also tells us that what does matter, faith working through love. You have faith? Wonderful. But it must be faith working through love. If your faith doesn't function, it isn't real faith. If it doesn't function through love, it isn't real faith. But your love alone isn't enough. Your love must also have faith, an abiding trust in Jesus and what he did for us. In short, fulfillment of God's great command comes not through any human effort or formula or even doctrine. It's God's Spirit, which you can ask for and expect. Luke 11:13 says, "If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" Now may the Lord grant you peace in the midst of any storm and faith to trust him. Look for our next podcast, and may you realize more of his grace today.